But Damo, it is time for your news. And let's start with the explosive allegations from MP Andrew Wilkie that he made in Parliament last night, claiming, among other things, off-the-books testing in the AFL. Take it away.
Yeah, it's a bit to wade through. And in some people's eyes in footy, it's certainly not a new part of this illicit drugs policy story of the AFL. But to outsiders, and I think a fair bit of the public, given the feedback this morning, we need to time code this show as we do because things change. It's about 11 o'clock on this particular Wednesday. We're yet to hear from the AFL officially on it. I've spoken to them last night. I know they will release a statement today. It will, as far as I've been told, refer to it being in keeping with its illicit drugs policy. And I think anyone who's had an exposure to it, certainly from a media sense, guys, this taking players out of the random nature of the testing is not at all a surprise. I've had conversations with Andrew Demetrio initially, Gillon McLachlan, about these issues as part of the policy. It's not a shock to me. I get and I understand why it is to others and even some retired players, even some football people who may not be completely across the information because the information does flow to the doctor only as a starting point, and it's then up to the doctor as to where that information is disseminated. So I thought we can tackle it many ways. We could debate it. Both you and I, Days, have spoken on the Marty Shergold today on Triple M for our views as well. So if people want to get a deeper take of our views, they can. But maybe to you first, Joey, today on the midweek rub, just as a former player, a former great of the St Kilda Footy Club, your reactions to what you read overnight.
Yeah, it makes sense to me, first of all. And it's not a surprise, you're right, because we sort of understand these things happen. But I suppose it is when it becomes public and there is stories about it, then it almost becomes this much bigger issue. And I probably felt the same about Joel Smith that had some drug issues, that it became this whole thing like Melbourne has got this big culture problem. When I'm sitting here going, there's a handful of players probably at every single club that have got some behavioural issues off the field or have to be worked on.
I reckon you can almost lock that in as part of this conversation.
But because it was Melbourne and with new names and it was public, it was like it was a bigger deal.
Yeah,
I feel this is going to be something similar with this AFL situation because it has always probably been going on. And if, for the people listening, it makes sense because if a player comes to their club doctor during the week and if they've got a drug problem and they say, look, I've ingested some drugs, I'm now worried that if I play game day, I'm under the WADA code and I could be banned for 4 years. Mm. Can we need to do something
and
about it?
I'll jump in there because the example is if you don't do what they're now being accused of doing is taking players out of the system. And I've got problems with that and I'll get to that in a moment. But the example to now raise as a counter to that is Joel Smith.
What's the option? Yeah, you get a 2-4, you're looking at 4-year ban. Yeah. So it makes sense that if a player is open enough to go and speak to his club doctor, that they then work through it and say, okay, well, we need to stop you from playing this game because it's too big of a risk for you to be banned for 4 years. I don't think there's anything bad about that because it's smart. It's actually common sense. Mm. And the whole illicit drug policy that people need to understand was sanctioned by the AFLPA because they volunteer the players to do this. It's a medical model to identify and work with players that have a drug problem. And that's exactly what these club doctors and the AFL doctor, if it gets to that level, get involved in. It's common sense from my perspective.
Look, I hear what you're saying about the medical model, and I've got my head around that. And I needed to probably take time to do that. I thought it was being abused. I still think there's an element of abuse to it. That's my opinion on this. I've covered this story since.
In what way?
In which way?
I feel that players are hiding behind the medical model of it. And I feel that there's just bad behaviour in drug taking.
To which extent, though?
I'm not talking about a massive
if it gets to two strikes, though,
get to two strikes. Okay. And that's the issue. It never got to three strikes. It got to three strikes once when Travis Tuck was exposed on the third strike for the police involvement. I mean, we saw Jack Ginnivan go through it last year. We saw Bailey Smith go through last year. People in the public taking photos of the behaviour. Now, I don't have an issue with that now. I did initially, and I still feel it's part of the conversation. So Days, when you see it, can I get your views on it? Because I'll then go back to the origins of the whole policy, which I think does need and does provide some context.
I think that the more you understand and sort of the point of view that Joey's coming from, the more you see it as, well, you know, if you are a player and you're at risk, if Joel Smith had to put his hand up and gone and see the club doctor, he would have been a laid out and would be able to play for the rest of his career. He's probably cost himself his career. Whether or not then the question then goes back to, well, if that's the case, why risk it at all? Yeah. And that's a fair enough question. But as you say, if people have got struggles or, you know, issues.
But not every drug moment, and we're probably getting too deep into this part of it, but not every drug-taking element in the AFL is because of a mental health issue.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. So therefore, if you make one bad decision and you go, oh, I really don't feel good about this, you know, a moment of weakness, then you go and tell your club doctor, you save your career. Is that Is that justifiable, or is it the same as if you've got an ongoing problem?
Just bang out some facts here too, because it does all provide context and people do forget and are not across it as we may be in the media. There's two drugs policies, and that, again, that's obvious to these people in this conversation, but to the person in the street, they still forget, and they forget the context. The AFL, to your point, in 2005 or thereabouts, on the back of the West Coast Eagles' behaviour, and that was part of this storyline, introduced its own policy separate to the WADA-controlled policy, which is now run by Sports Integrity Australia. There's nothing stopping Sports Integrity Australia to test these same players who are, if you want to use the word, getting protection from the AFL system. There's nothing stopping Sports Integrity Australia to test those same players at that point in time, should they choose to do so.
Only, but the Sports Integrity, it's only in competition.
That's correct.
Which is game day.
So during the week.
There's still a game day component to during the week.
Yeah, no. So on game day,
under certain legislation,
on game day, you can be tested by WADA or their underbody for performance enhancing drugs and or illicit drugs,
which are performance enhancing.
Correct.
On game day,
but any other day of the week when they rock up to test you for steroids,
on a Tuesday they come to your house. Yeah. They don't test for illicit drugs.
No, they are purely testing for performance enhancing.
That's not what they're there for. They're not there to test for illicit drugs. That's
but
why
what
the
I'm
AFL
is
policy.
That they can still test these people whenever they want on game day. For the substances.
Yes.
And as they did. Now again, Joel Smith can defend his case, and he will to a point, but that's how he, came out.
Yeah, that's right. So where do you think it goes from here? Where does it go from here?
And is it still a little bit of sour grapes with the next president involved, a doctor? Yeah. Is there an element to that?
There's a layer.
They've been smearing it for a while.
Yeah, the Andrew Wilkie revelations in Parliament last night, and using parliamentary privilege, I mean, factor that into the conversation. There's a reason for it being done that way. I'll let others work it out. We don't have time. We'd be here for an hour if I try to explain that one. But he's protected with what he says there. It is a layer to the Andrew Bartlett case. A lot of what he said has already been played out publicly with the information he did release last night. I'm keen personally to see what the AFL says officially today. I'm particularly keen to see what referencing they make to Peter Harcourt, who is the chief medical officer at the time and was part of the Andrew Wilkie references last night, he being the person who allowed this to unfold. I think, is there, doctors at every club know this works. I mean, the doctor in question at Melbourne was
privy to it.
Doing it.
And it's important to know that this is true, that the coaches and they do not know. That's when we talk about when we say the medical model for this, it's more that the doctor-patient confidentiality component. It is only the club doctor and the player that know, and they can involve the AFL doctor, which again stays between the doctor-patient privilege. So that is important to know that Melbourne wouldn't, or whichever club it is in this situation.
They'd
and there have been players that have been withdrawn.
Yeah.
From
plenty
games.
To play out. Yeah.
And that's the other problem too. And let's move off this topic because it has got many places to go and we don't have enough time to discuss it and other matters. But where it goes now from that perspective, every time you see the word hamstring now, do you naturally go to that point?
Yeah.
And that's going to be unfortunate because of what's happened here.